Okay, please take seats.
Allow me to share with you my most favorite story. It's about the life of a man who lived as most holy, from the right hand of the Father to the crib he descended, to grow up and give up so brokenness gets mended, so we can be part of the family as God's adopted son or daughter. So let me tell you about Jesus from the journey of water. First mate John, his cousin, likes locust, honey, helix, proper spiritual-like and a bit of an eccentric. He clears his throat and pipes up loud, "Turn around to the one whose love knows no bounds." So some got baptized, but see, John was just sent as the warm-up act to proclaim the main event. Enter Jesus, who John baptizes. Straight out of the water, Jesus arises. And with a voice from the clouds, God fills us in. "This is my son," and chuffed the bits with him. Next, he's at this wedding, and the red wines run dry. To be fair, it was a bit embarrassing for the father of the bride. So Mary, the mother, gives Jesus the hintage, and from water to wine, he miracles of vintage. The guests are loving it, they're having a blast. They couldn't believe they saved the best wine to last. A bit later on the boat, it's chucking it down. A storm out at sea. "Are we gonna drown?" think Jesus' mates. Is this really their fate? See, they're all freaking out. Meanwhile, Jesus is having shut-eye and he's out for the count. Waves thrashing, water rising, boat sinking. "How's he kicked through this?" Jesus' buddies are thinking. Till, "What's the problem?" asks Jesus. "What's all the fuss?" says shush to the storm, they're descending a hush. Next, a new scene, but similar scenery. Pete and his buddies are rowing out at sea. They spot someone out there. They're all scared witless. Jesus walking on the water, doing the miraculous. At first they flip out, they fly off the handle, till Jesus says, "It's me," as he wrings out his sandal. Then gathered grievers, all mourning in masses, as a friend of Jesus called Lazarus passes. He dies. Jesus sees the brokenness and tears fill his eyes. "I was suffering surrounding him," says Lazarus. "Rise." Then that bit in the story that fills us with dread, where Jesus gave up his life and lowered his head, where darkness descended, a perfect life savagely ended. Where's all this talk of the brokenness mended? Through love gritted teeth, he proclaimed, "It is finished." And with one final cry out, he gave up his spirit. Then proof of the pudding that our Saviour had died, there gushed out blood water from a spear in his side. Then a tear in the temple curtain takes away the divide. His followers and friends must have been beside themselves. The hope of brokenness becoming mended with his death has just ended. Till everything gets upended. 3 days pass. And water flowed plenty from the tea ducts of Mary by the tomb that was empty. "What's wrong?" asks the gardener. Then imagine her surprise to notice not a gardener, just Jesus alive. He kicked off his mission with a water baptism. He lived and he died to free us from the prison of our sin and ourselves, all our shame and division. And it's paid for, it's dealt with, because he is risen. Our mess has been buried. We can now be forgiven. Our lives resurrected through Jesus who's risen. Through the 3-day baptism, we can emerge from the water to be part of Jesus' family, God's adopted son or daughter. So when we come to the perfect son who lifted the curse, he gives us living water that will forever quench our thirst.
Okay, I don't know how many people have seen a baptism before, been to a baptism. You might be thinking this is all a little bit weird this morning, for I know. So just to explain a little bit, that this is the baptistry and this is very normal. Yeah, warm water in there, that's the result. That's the first, maybe. Holly's happy. There's nothing amazing about this water. There's nothing super holy about it. It's water from Somerville School, a little bit brown. But what makes it really special is that we can share together. That video hopefully helped us to think about Jesus' death, his burial. So we think about Jesus' death as the people get into the water. We think about how Jesus was buried as they go under the water and under for a few seconds, not for too long. Jesus' burial and then his resurrection. Now he came back to life again as they come out of the water. And of course, for people who believe in Jesus, this is our story as well. And there's a bit of our lives which we know actually weren't the best. And it's putting that behind us, saying, Jesus, I want a new life. And be able to bury that bit of our life, our old lives, we bury them. Going under the water, we think of that. And then a new life that Jesus gives us as we come out of the water. And so that's why we're really excited about baptism. And that's why it's an opportunity for people to share a bit of their story this morning. I'm going to hand over to Matt, who's going to introduce.
Okay. We're going to invite each of the people getting baptized to come and share their story. And it's a little bit nerve-wracking if you're not used to standing up here. So we're going to give them lots of smiles, okay? We're going to start with Solveiga. There's nothing more beautiful in a story than when God's story overlaps with our story. Do you get that? When God's story, the divine, overlaps with a human story. And we're going to hear three of those this morning, starting with Solveiga. So Sol, do you want to come up and share with us?
So I'm going to read you my testimony. When some few weeks ago at our house group, Matt Hevich briefly mentioned that there will be a baptism on Easter Sunday and asked me if I would someday maybe consider getting baptized. Have I thought of that at all? I kindly replied something with the lines of that I've already been christened as a baby and confirmed as a member of church when I was 18. And I really do think there is no need for me to even consider baptism, as I've done it all. It's just another procedure. And does it even matter, as God is there for me with or without that? We've also talked about baptism previously. Why he even bother? Why does he even bother to ask me that question? And I left it there. Little did I knew that I will be standing here today with such a passion, telling my story of how Jesus touched my life. It was a couple of days later when suddenly I got woken up in the middle of that night, almost like this soft whisper saying, "This is your time. You've been looking for your fate all these years. This is your fate now. Come put all your worries, fears, all your doubts here by my feet, by the cross, and watch me changing your life around." I have never felt such an experience, but it was so beautiful, magical, peaceful, and filled with so much love. In human time, it probably lasted like about a second. But the closest way I came to describe it is like a zip folder, where in that second, Jesus himself had unzipped, revealed me those audiovisual moments, a bit like watching a movie, moments from my life that felt rough, moments where I turned away from him, but he never once turned his back on me. He showed me my actions and my thoughts, circumstances and people he had sent my way to protect me, even when I strongly questioned, who is this imaginary Jesus dude and how does he think he can boss me around telling me what to do, though all those rules and regulations that I've learned through my church upbringing. When I called one of my sisters to tell her what I've seen and experienced, it took me more than 3 hours to share just a little tiny fraction of what Jesus revealed to me that night, to tell her about all that extraordinary love, his gentle kindness and beauty, and how he and how and where he was there for me, for us. It is still hard to believe and still a bit difficult to put all that in human words. But I know that he loves each and every one of us so much, no matter where we are in our journey. If you're a church kid going to a public school and have ever been bullied because of your faith, I've been there, but so has Jesus. Always trying so hard to fit in, achieve the best grades, or maybe not being considered too brainy, bright, or smart. I feel you, as I was that kid. But Jesus feels you too. If you're feeling like asking Jesus, why am I sometimes feeling so alone, even when in church? Please come to me. I'm going to give you the biggest hug. You are not alone. I love you so much. It's okay to feel that way. It's okay to ask questions. And it's going to get better. You're so much smarter and brighter and so much more wonderful and valuable than you can ever imagine. You can be that warrior of light. You can be whatever you want to be. He's so happy when your heart is filled with joy. All Jesus ever wanted is to love us and to show us the love in what God created this world. And he has such a great sense of humor. My English teacher once said that I'm never going to speak any English. And here I am, standing, sharing my testimony with all of you in a language that I've been told I'm never going to be able to speak. I remember my mother praying for us, her children, to be safe and protected wherever we are, whoever we grow up to be. She prayed for protection and wisdom, but it never seemed enough. I remember myself praying in such a deep faith, praying for my father and his new family to have a good day, even though I wasn't allowed to talk to him by his new wife's rules, praying for his family that was there before me, asking God for forgiveness, praying for my future family, for my future husband, wherever he is, for God to keep him safe, to make his day, if he's having a bad one, to send sunshine and great adventures his way until we meet. Yes, even for my future children, so they have a loving family and never had to suffer like I did at times. But then I forgot. My pain overgrow my faith. I grow far apart from my land. I grow far apart from God the Father. And just like that, I got lost somewhere in life's space and time. I lost focus. And that first evening, I wandered into Welton Church, the evening service. Looking back at it, probably my heart was there more to prove to myself that church is really not for me. Oh yes, I did believe that Jesus was once living here on earth. There were way too strong evidence of that, and that he was a wise master. But had I ever met him on a more personal level? Is that even possible? If that story is more than 2,000 years old, somehow, after months and months, I wandered in Welton Church again. Let me just say, his presence can change your life over in most imaginable ways. The past year have been filled with so many blessings, and the power of his word, the power of the prayer, really, really, truly worked for me. When I started to go to church again, joined the house group, sometimes I would still get those huge anxiety attacks. And one Sunday, they were bad. I haven't had them as bad probably ever. All I could do was to lie down on the floor. I couldn't get myself up to get something to drink or to make any food. Couldn't get myself up to even get into bed. And I really wanted to go to church that day. It was Sunday, but it was almost like my body locked myself in. I knew I just had to let it pass. My mind was so full of chatter, jobs I needed to do, checklists, questions I had, and how I shouldn't go to church. You know what I did? I went to the Welton Church website and I listened to those recordings one by one. And there was one where Tim Martin talked about Jesus and how he calmed the storm. Peace, be still. And as I listened to it, all the chatter stopped and I could stand up. Like Jesus calmed, would have calmed that storm down for me too. It was already late by that point and all the services were finished. But at that was my miracle. I've never had considered getting baptized. If I have never even considered getting baptized, then why now? Let me tell you a story of my great granny. She was a woman of strength and wisdom. had read many Bibles in different languages and writings. All her life, she was looking for that truth. But only those last days, when we went to visit her before she passed away, she looked into my mother's eyes. And with such certainty, she said, "Now I know that Jesus really is." And my granny accepted Jesus in her last days too. If Jesus is real, then why wait for your whole life? If you had received such a beautiful invitation from Jesus, and knowing all that, wouldn't you run to him? No, I didn't run. Even after waking up the following morning, I didn't run to talk to Matt or to any church leaders. I spent a week questioning everything even more. Every day asking this question, is that true? Is that really true? Is that the way? Is that my way? Is that the way you've planned out for me? And every day to this day, I received a definite yes. I love you so much. It's always your free will. But if you want to come with me on this journey, this is your invitation. Come, follow me, trust and see what I have in store for you. All will be new. And his gentle voice, his promise, it's your time, your fate. Put all your worries, all your fears there by my cross. And I'm going to erase them. Those are not there anymore. Only after a week of questioning all that, when Jo took me home from the Gaspelo practice, she shared with me that Holly is going to get baptized this Easter Sunday. Only then I quietly said that I was considering maybe getting baptized too. And then, from then on, everything was arranged in the most beautiful way. And yes, I have wandered away from the church, from God. I've been so hurt and upset and angry and didn't wanted to do anything with him or the church. But even through those years, I've always carried this new commandment from Jesus deep inside my heart. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Even through those years of wandering and looking for my way, I kept this one verse dear to my heart. As for me, it did overwrite all the rules and regulations, all that was there before, that is the love that I felt. And I know that there will be days when I wouldn't feel like it, like reading a Bible, like going to church, or couldn't hear his voice so clearly. But from now on, I will always have this love, and I will have my faith, and this moment here. And that assurance that I can always ask, is that true? And I know that he will be there by my side, sharing his unfailing love. This moment here, all of you will always be with me and will stay with me for however long I will live on this beautiful planet to the eternity. Today, I'm standing here with all of you to witness this and reclaim my faith. To put all those years of fear, pain, and suffering, self-pity, shame, and if there were ever any curse, I'm putting it all down by the cross, by the feet of Jesus, so he makes it all new, and none of the darkness has no power over me, nor my family anymore. And those miserably lonely hours, all that heartache, all the deep-seated messages of being unworthy, being poor, I'm putting all of them by the cross, so he can erase them, just as he had promised. Today he makes all those past stories new through his light. Today I declare my fate in Jesus' name to be reborn as his child. And I'm so grateful for you all, for your prayers leading up to this day. I'm so grateful for being here and so grateful for sharing this testimony with you all. Thank you for being here. It's still not easy for me to process all that with my mind, but with my heart, I'm here completely. I don't know what Jesus has in store for me. I believe he paves my way beautifully, and I received this beautiful painting, that image of painting that I wish to paint one day. It was like in a dawn, the fog was just rising. It wasn't possible to see what's ahead or what's around me, but I saw myself walking barefoot, and everywhere my feet landed, the flowers grew. There's no more shame, no fears, no more anger, anxiety, just his peace and loving presence. And I pray for all of you, church family, to stay as supportive and close to one another as you do. I have so much love for you. Thank you. It was a long one, but thank you all for listening.
Thanks, Solveiga. Solveiga has reclaimed her faith. We've had some great conversations about how she just doesn't want religion anymore. She wants the real thing. She wants this relationship with Jesus. And it's so good to see, isn't it? Going to invite Holly, who's also in our house group, to come up now. While she's coming, if you're not part of this local church, you have got a really warm, open invitation to come along as often as you like on a Sunday. One of the things that we really are passionate about is house groups, just meeting in each other's homes midweek. And I've got the privilege of having Holly, who's one of our best mates, in a house group with us. And as you'd expect, she's a little bit nervous, but she is make me cry because I love her so much. All right, we're going to do this together. Liz and Holly are going to do this together, and you're going to love it. It's not quite as long as Souls, but it is just as good. All right, how about this? Jason's going to find the video. Okay, here we go. This is Holly. This is what she would say, and she is saying it in her heart, aren't you? All right, okay.
I have been brought up in a home with Mum and Dad who loves Jesus, which is good, but now it's my choice. I am a Christian because I went to Big Top when I was 9, and a lady called Louise Gold said, "Who wants to invite Jesus into their life?" I decided that I wanted to pray that prayer. There are lots of people who helped me grow a Christian. From of them are Sharon and Gavin. Jill Mears. I remember one of the leaders of Dynamos read it from the Bible.
Good. No.
Right, we got. Oh, I had to put my glasses on. Yeah. You going to read it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, you have to stand next to me though. God has helped me in lots of different ways. He has helped my confidence in talking to people. He has helped me to be a helper in MFest and Voltage. God has helped me when things are difficult. I pray and pray with my mum. When I pray, I feel more calm. The Bible has helped me, and I have a favourite verse, which is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I learnt that verse at MFest in 2009. The reason I'm getting baptized today is because I believe in God and that he listens to my prayer and that he is my friend.
Oh, she did well, didn't she? It's a nerve-wracking thing. All right, Sheila. Oh, we love you so much, Sheila. I remember walking down the kind of back road, Midsummer Norton with Sheila, about, 18 months ago, thinking, I'm not sure this lady is really a Christian. All right, just being honest with you, we had this conversation, didn't we, in a pub the other day. Then I had a conversation with her maybe 3 months ago, and I thought, oh my goodness, something's changed. This woman, she loves Jesus, and Jesus is right at the center of her life. So we're really looking forward to you sharing your story. Not going to need to read yours, are we? Okay, maybe. All right. Come, Sheila, share your story with us.
Right, I'm Sheila, and I only moved here about 3 years ago. And my story, I've got rather a lot as well, but I don't think it'll take that long to read. Like most people, when I was born, I was baptized and baptized into a good Christian family, attending Sunday school and weekly church services, when I was with my brother in the C of E church. When 15, I chose to be confirmed and gave myself to God at that time, attending each week until I married in 1967. Then not on a regular basis. But once I had the children and they were old enough to attend once a month with cubs and brownies, but they didn't really enjoy the C of E church. They found the service quite boring. So when they were both in senior school, they joined the Salvation Army, as their music teacher was a Salvationist, and he encouraged them, and they could develop their music skills as well then. So they used to go each week, and they joined the band at the Salvation Army, and Therese also joined the Songsters, and as well, and eventually came, both of them, young soldiers. Theresa carried on attending Salvation Army, and that's when she met Guy on music camp. They used to go, brother Adrian as well. They both attended and enjoyed the whole week. It was through Therese and Guy's faith I am where I am today. They've given me no end of encouragement since I've lost my husband. Latter years of my marriage, I had a very tough time. My husband lost a leg through diabetes and was in a wheelchair bound. And I was still working full-time at that time and caring for him as well. And also visiting a couple of friends of his. They were both in their very elderly, in their 90s. And I used to help look after them as well. So it was quite full on, doing a full-time job as well. It was at this time I began to turn to God again and to pray, asking for the guidance and strength from God, and to believe my prayers were answered at that time, as I just got on with everything. And although I had so much to do and so much responsibility, it all seemed to become a lot easier to cope. And each night when I went to bed, I would just bring my day to God and ask for a restful night. That's all I needed to give me strength to take the next day as it came, and ask for healing from my husband. At last, it wasn't meant to be, and he spent lots of time in hospital with many different complaints, and at one stage went into intensive care. And Theresa and I were prepared that weekend that he probably wouldn't last the weekend at all, which was quite a shock to both of us. But once again, he fought his way back and came out of hospital again. After many more hospital trips, he was eventually told his kidneys had failed completely and he would need dialysis. As all his organs by now was in such a bad condition, he wasn't considered for a transplant at all, so had to face 3 days a week and 4 hours at a time just to stay alive, making his kidneys work for him for the rest of his life. As he had been such a very active person before, but definitely not sports-wise or anything like that. It was just that he was always working and worked hard. He couldn't face all this time lying on the hospital bed. So he was told that he could have dialysis at home, which meant me a lot more work again, because I had to learn how to clean all the machines and how to put him onto it, how to look after his connection point and things like that. And it was quite a responsibility, knowing that one mistake from me could jeopardise his life. And he could have this overnight, so that whilst he was sleeping, the changeover of the fluids happened for him. And that meant that he had his days free and we could go out and enjoy our days out, which he really enjoyed. The only thing with this way of dialysis, there was more risk of infection. And if this happened, it meant peritonitis would set in, which you wouldn't recover from. Again, this was extra stress on me to be extra diligent in the cleaning of everything and his equipment and making sure with all special soaps and antibacterial lotions to make everything was clean and safe for him. Again, I turned to God for extra help and peace, as he also needed carers' help twice a day to help his dressing and undressing and getting into bed and things. There was added stress that during their job, they might not do things correctly and infection could get into his body that way. So one day the inevitable happened. There were signs of infection, so he admitted hospital straight away on the Friday night. And he passed away on the Sunday morning, so he didn't have much time once he went into hospital. And as I said before, once he got that infection, there was no way back for him. At this time, I blamed myself, and the what-ifs began to take over, and the guilt I felt lasted a long time. And even questioned God why he took him so soon from me. So at this time there was many prayers and conversations between us. As you can imagine, I was on my own a lot at this time, with nothing to fill the hours in the day, as normally my 24 hours was filled with making sure he was okay and things like that. And in some way or other, so I just had to occupy myself all day doing anything, any jobs, anything to fill the day, be it just wandering about or painting, gardening, anything like that, just to make bedtime come so I could relax and have a rest. It began to get difficult to find enough jobs to do, and that is when I started to visit Guy and Teresa more, who brought me to Welton Baptist Church on Sundays when I was with them, where they were established members, and I felt completely at home here straight away, as they introduced me to their many friends and was made so welcome by everyone and felt wrapped in love and safety, and which I find even to this day. It's such a loving, friendly, and you do just feel part of a family. I've lost my place now. I went back home each time and was still feeling that friendship, and gradually I was feeling closer to God again after my visits to Welton and more comfortable with talking to God during the day and not just in my prayers at night. Not just in my prayers. Eventually, Guy and Teresa suggested moving closer to them, and I said I would think about it. But really, it wasn't what I was going to do. I had intended staying in Gloucester. But once I came and spent my first Christmas with them, and on my return home, I realised it might now be time to move, as the house felt so empty. And I realised it wasn't because I was lonely, which I wasn't. But living on my own, it was because the house was empty of love, laughter and noise, as it always had been with the kids, workmates, people needing feeding. There was always noise and chatter, and it was so quiet living there on my own. So the decision was made. Guys started searching for places for me to move to, and I put the house on the market. And it is sold straight away within 2 days. My life has changed so much since my move here, and it's all been down to Welton Baptist Church and the welcome and friendship I receive from them, and Guy and Teresa's faith and their encouragement. Ever since I moved here in 2016, I have attended both morning and evening services regularly each Sunday since moving here, and soon got to know a lot of people. And I wasn't just Teresa's mum anymore. I was Sheila. And that made an awful lot of difference. Teresa took me with her to Arise meetings, pop evenings, worship evenings, and I soon began to know a lot of people by name then, and especially Claire, which is one of Teresa's friends. She took me along to my first Delta meeting at Claire's, as it was a daytime meeting. She introduced me to Claire and left me to it and said she would pick me up later. I wasn't a very confident person in those days, but was made very welcome and really enjoyed the meeting and intended to go again the following week. And I just remember coming out of there when Teresa picked me up and telling her that I just felt this bubbling in my stomach all the time. And I just felt as though I was walking on air. I was so excited about what I'd heard and what I'd learned already. And it, so far, it's really strange because when I still go to Delta, I still come out with the same feelings. And that's 3 years down the line. I've made some truly good friends from my Delta group and have made more friends here than at any other time in my life, especially Chris Chinnery, who's helped me enormously. And she is, at the moment, being my alongsider after I did the alongsider course. And there's Margaret and Bobby and Kay and many more people. And also it helped me to make friends because I go to Sunbeams on a Tuesday morning as well. And that came about, I had a job with Sunbeams before I even moved here. Because at the time, Karen was looking for someone, and Teresa said, "Oh, my mum could do that. She's moving here in August, and she'd love to help out." So that's how I came to work in Sunbeams on a Tuesday. And I just love it, and I look forward to it every week. And I think I actually get more fun out of the craft table and all the craft we do than the children do themselves. I also went to my first Arise meeting that first August I was here. A summer special it was, led by Linda, with a special guest. I was sat on my own at first, waiting for Teresa to join me, when Angela Barrard, that is, saw me and invited me to sit by her, which I did. And later, during the prayer time, Angela asked if she could pray for me. And she was the first person to actually pray for me, during which time the special guest was praying for healing and comfort for people. She felt at the time there was a need, that someone, somewhere during that evening, needed the help and comfort. And it was during that time I had a vision in my head, a plain picture of my late husband, and he was actually smiling at me. And in that moment, all the guilt I'd felt of his death and for moving from the home that we'd shared for about 40 years, it just all came together. And being with Guy and Trees as well, everything just melted away from that time, and I could physically feel my body relax and a calmness come over me. And I knew then that I had done the right thing in choosing God and following what God had planned for me, which I didn't know about. And I had my husband's blessing, and from that moment on, I've felt God's presence at all times, leading me by the hand in everything I do. I did my offer course not long after and found this very helpful. But I discovered that usually it leads to baptism afterwards. But I didn't feel the need for that. Like Surveyor, I'd been baptized as a child. And I also chose to be confirmed. And as far as I knew, that's all you needed to be welcomed into the church. So it was a bit strange that people kept saying, are you going to be baptized? And I say my answer each time. But over these last 3 years, I've become more involved in Welton, in the life and family, and volunteered for many duties. Welcome, cakes and teas on the rotors, and anything that needs a volunteer. My name's usually first on the list. And as I've learned more and more, and read the scriptures more, and learnt through my Delta group how to understand the Bible more as I read passages. Now there are things in them that I can feel God is speaking to me about and show me what his plan for me is, and that he is always there for me, holding my hand and guiding me forward in all I do and say. And I just feel a constant calmness in my life. I don't even feel fear of anything. The only fear I really have is of being really ill and struggling at the end. But apart from that, I've got no cares. I just take each day as it is. As well as things jumping out at me from my Bible readings and words I read in my Bible each day, God still speaks to me in pictures. I see in my mind things. And Chris Chinnery's passed a book on to me that I read each day. It's called Jesus Calling, and I thoroughly recommend it for people because I've found that such a help. And it's got daily readings in it, but it's as though Jesus himself is speaking to you and actually talking to you. And some days as I read this, that the words actually that I read, as though the words are being spoken just to me. And when I reflect on my day at the end of the day, things that I've read in the morning, I realise has worked out during that day. I've been asked lots of times about being baptised, and as I've said before, I haven't felt the need. It wasn't for me. But all of a sudden, there has been recently this niggling in me from all I have been reading and have begun to question my reasoning, and have felt this nudging is getting stronger and stronger. So I borrowed a book off Margaret after she'd been baptised, and I've read that through, and I've read it through, and I've read it through. It still didn't seem to have much meaning. I'd mentioned it to Teresa recently, and then she gave me a new one that she was taking to her evening sessions, group sessions with some of the children. So I read through it there again, several times over the next few days. Over the next few days, every time I read my daily readings or my Bible, this word time or timely kept cropping up. Then one morning after swimming, Teresa, Emma and I decided to have breakfast in spoons, weather spoons, before going home. And we met Matt H there. And during that time, we were having a chat and something must have come up, something about baptism. And Matt turned to me and he said, oh, didn't realise you hadn't been baptised. And I said, no, I wasn't. And just went on to say that I'd been baptised as a child and confirmed. And he said, oh, that's okay. We'll have to have a good discussion about this. So I said, okay. But not really intending to, not that soon anyway. The next thing I knew, Teresa said to me, oh, Matt said Friday's good, about 9 after we've been swimming. So I said, okay. Meeting, what for, says me. Very naive. Baptism, says Teresa. So that was it. We were going to have a discussion. But things had got worse at jumping out at me before that Friday, and I felt this feeling of pushing and guidance rather strongly than the gentle nudging that I'd felt before. So read the baptism book again, and it really did speak to me that time, so the decision was made. So when Friday came, Teresa, Emma and I, after swimming, went to meet Matt. We ordered our coffees, chatted for a while, and he said he'd been praying for me whilst he was waiting for me. And this word, timely, had come. So I said, I had this same nudging, and time kept cropping up. So I had decided it was time to be baptized. Matt said, oh, I thought we were going to discuss it. And Teresa looked surprised as well. But I'd already made my mind up. I was ready, and I said, yes. The word timely that you've had, and the word time and timely keep cropping up for me, has just confirmed it. And that is how I feel now. That this is the time and the right time for me to be baptized. And thanks to all you family, as I call you, for being there for me and guiding me through these last 3 years, that I feel now is the right time for me. So it was said it would be Easter Sunday, and I was overjoyed. And at first I was the only one, but I'm so glad that Holly and Savannah I've been baptized as well. It makes it even more special. And I just thank God for his patience and guidance that I'm here today. Thank you.
It's good to hear such three really different stories, aren't they? But kind of God's story overlapping with Sheila, Holly and Solveiga's story. You managed to call Solveiga, I reckon, about 25 different names then during your testimony. It's good. All right, we're going to invite Capella, who's... We've got lots of different activities going on in the church, and one of them, Rachel Middleton, heads up this fantastic singing group who just loves singing together in lots of different contexts. And they're going to come and sing a song that's been chosen by Solveiga called Oh Happy Day. So I come looking for Rachel Middleton. Ah! Behind, good old Panso, it's behind you. All right. Come on in, guys. Okay, we're going to unbaptize Solveiga, and when she, just to let you know how we're going to do this, we're going to be about 15 more minutes, 15, 20 minutes, and I'm going to ask you to go that end, actually. Shall I let you into a little secret? We had a small hole in the baptistry yesterday, so we used a bicycle repair kit at this end of the pool, hence this end. We're going to baptize each person, but we're going to pause after we baptize them. We're going to sing the chorus from that song that we sang earlier on. And then anybody that would like to, just come and gather round and pray for Solveiga, and then for Holly, and then for Sheila. So don't be shy, okay? If you'd like to come, you can pray silently, you can pray out loud, whatever you want to do. But we want to stand with Sol. And we're going to ask that God, He's present here with us. We're going to ask that just those hopes and dreams in the Father heart of God, they will be a yes and amen in Solveig's heart and us too as her family. Okay.
Solveig, do you proclaim Jesus to be your King and Saviour?
Yes.
Then by confession of your faith, we are delighted to baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Okay. Great. If you want to stretch out your hands to whatever you want to do, what you're comfortable with, but if you know Solveig, if you've connected with her in some way, come and gather around and let's pray for her. Okay, let's pray now. Come and join us. Don't be shy.
Solveig, when I was praying for you about today, I was seeking God for a word for you, and I got this just one word, salt. And I thought, there's so many meanings in the Bible about salt, but I believe God's saying to you, Solveig, in your life, you're going to bring thirst in many people, a thirst for Jesus, a thirst for God in people's lives. So let's pray. Father God, we love Solveig. We thank you so much that you put her in our path, in our lives, that our lives have been enriched to know this young lady. Lord, we just commend her to you and just so excited to know that there's going to be so many things you're going to do in her life, lives that will be transformed and changed through her because of your grace. Lord, bless her today. As she's honoured you, I pray that you just honour her, that she would know a great blessing in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Solveig, I'm praying for you this week. The funniest thing happened. You said it in your testimony, and it was the words I got to. You are a warrior of light. You've called other people in your testimony, but it's not about them. It's about you. And he wants to let you know you are the warrior of light. He's been with you every step of your journey, all the dark times too. But he wants to know that your light shines brighter through any shadows that come near you, and it will continue to grow like a star burns brightly in the sky. He just loves you so much, Solveig. Amen.
That's really fascinating because Solveig was walking through Midsummer Norton yesterday morning, and we bumped into each other, and we just sat down on a bench and prayed, didn't we? And the word that I had for Solveig was that you're a soldier, not a soldier that fights like in an aggressive, violent way, but fights with love and actually is so capable. God has given you so much and you will see so much darkness actually go in people's lives. And so I'm not going to pray. I just want to say yes and amen to what Abby's just prayed.
Hi, Solveig. The word I had for you was a little bit different, but it was the word abide. And it's about God calling you to a place of abiding in him. And abiding is a place of resting. It's finding your home. It's being at peace. It's knowing that you've got a place that is for you in God. And I just felt God wants to draw you more into that place of abiding. You're stepping into it, but there's much more for you. And it'll be a place of freedom and of light and of love. But it's a place where you'll be completely at home in him.
So you're probably not going to thank me for this, but my prayer for you is that God wakes you up quite a lot in the middle of the night, because I think it's just so amazing that he spoke to you so clearly about what you're doing today. So yeah, just pray, Lord, that you'll continue to speak to Solveig any time of day or night. Amen.
Amen. Let's give her another big round of applause. Fantastic. All right, where's that fantastic Holly gone? She's taken off her socks. She's in business. It's good. Matt and Joe, Holly's mum and dad, are going to baptise her.
Okay, Holly, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior?
I do.
And a confession of faith, we baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right, do it. Everybody come down that wants to pray. Could be a big queue, but that's fine. Let's pray for Holly. I had one word for you, Holly. And it's the word smile. And I think everybody who knows Holly knows that her smile is so powerful, isn't it? There's so much of the love of God in Holly's smile. And it was one of the things that Liz and I and the girls, we first noticed when we came to this church 3 years ago. We looked forward to Holly coming and greeting us. Because you feel quite nervous, don't you? First time in a church, you're like, oh no, I don't know anybody yet. And within a couple of weeks, the one thing we knew would happen would Holly would come up and say hello to us with a huge smile. And I think something probably a lot more powerful in your smile than you think there is. Lord, I want to thank you for this amazing young woman. And I want to thank you that she just brings so much love to the people around her, and me and my family completely included in that. And Father, I pray that she will know today. And I ask your Holy Spirit, will you just speak to her and let her know that the love that she gives to other people is not just something that comes from her, it's from you as well. It's you and her mixed up together, loving people. And when she smiles, it's like Jesus smiling at people that she's looking at. And I pray that she'd know that, not in a proud way, but in a beautiful way, that she'd know that she is used by God to show the smile of God to those around her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, I pray that you'd really show Holly today how pleased you are with her, at her courage and bravery at stepping out to do this fantastic thing to show how much she loves you. And Lord, I pray that as she goes through today, she'll feel as I can't remember who said it, but somebody this morning said they've been walking on air, and that she would feel like she's got a big fat gold star from you, and that you would show her in a real tangible way how special she is to you. Amen. Amen.
It's funny, the vision that I had a little bit of today was around, and I'm going to cry as well, so stop it. Look at me. I'm only crying because I love you, Holly. That's all. The vision was that we all should inspire to have Jesus' face come out of ours with that beautiful light that it must be. And that's every time I look at her. So Jesus, I thank you so much for the life of Holly. Lord, I don't know what will unfold from today onwards, but Lord, I know your face will shine. Amen.
Holly, as I watched your dad hug you then, and he took your hand, he took his hands and he put them on your hair, and he held your face. And that's what God's doing to you now. He's holding you tight because he loves you. He wants to be your heavenly dad and hold you tight in those times when it feels hard. He's there to hold you tight and to tell you he loves you so much.
Holly, when I first came to the church, a bit like Matt, you were there smiling. And throughout the years, whenever I've had a bad day, you've been there at house group. And I just can't explain it. You're amazing. And I really hope that you know that God thinks that too. And I have the pleasure to call you my friend. And you're just amazing. And I want everyone to know that.
Father, we can't thank you enough for this superb spirit that you've placed within Holly. She is the best of all of us. She is filled with love and life and laughter and light, and she lets it come through her so easily when the rest of us struggle. She is the most precious thing to so many people, and maybe she doesn't realize how blessed we are to have her in our lives, truly blessed. And through you, that blessing is just going to pour out even more and more. So, Father, we thank you for Holly today. Amen.
Holly, when I was praying for you this week, these are the verses that I got, which tie in a lot with what people have said about just God's love shining out from you. It's from Philemon. So it's, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Sister too, not just brother. Amen.
Wonderful. Let's give her another big cheer. Well done. Last but not least, Sheila.
Sheila. Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is your own personal Lord and Saviour?
I do.
On your confession of faith, I baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, let's do it. Come as quickly as you can. Gather round. Let's pray for Sheila.
It's been a real joy to be here this morning. I've seen your faith grow, and I've seen you begin to fly as with eagle's wings, And I just pray that the Lord will bless you and that you will continue to grow and continue to fly. And that freedom that God has given you, I just thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Sheila. Thank you for all she means to us in our house group and in our church. And thank you, Lord, for her faith and the encouragement that she gives us with her faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your testimony reminds me so much of my mom, and I've been blessed by every word you've spoken today, and I pray that as God has launched you into a new season, that he's going to bless you. And I have this word for you from God, which says, be still and know that I am God.
Sheila, it's been a real blessing to get to know you, and when Teresa said that she was offering her mum to help in Sunbeams, it was one of the best things that ever happened. And that was definitely God's plan for you and for us, because you are just amazing. And we really enjoy having you part of that group. But as I was been praying for you, two words have come. One is deepening and the other one is testimony. And as I've seen your faith deepen and seen you grow, I just pray that that deepening would continue, that you'd come to know the Lord in a really new and special way from this day on. But also that as your testimony you've spoken today has been quite powerful, that Father, that too would grow, that you'll have many more testimonies to share, but that also I know that you'll become part of testimonies of others as you get to know them and as they get to see the Lord work in your life. Thank you, Father.
Sheila, I believe the Lord just wants to say, Chris used the word freedom. I think he just wants to say, you have the freedom of my kingdom. I've put a ring on your finger, I've put a crown on your head, and you're wearing a robe because you're royalty. And now you've got the freedom to adventure in my kingdom. Come and find out more about me. Come and see what I've got for you, because I've got so much for you to discover. And it's like a new thing that you'll be discovering more and more about him.
Sheila, as I've prayed for you, the word I've got for you is joy. And many things come to mind when I think of you and joy. So it's a joy to get to know you as you've been here 3 years. It's a joy to have you at Delta. It's a joy serving with you. And I just know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that as you love him more and more, so more of that will shine through in every way that you serve and every person that you meet. And I just pray for more of that for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sheila, it's a real privilege to know you. And thank Jesus for you.
Dear Sheila, thank you for your friendship, your love that reflects love for us all here. And I just thank God that you've been obedient and you have done what Jesus asks us, is to be baptized. So bless you and may your faith grow and grow. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Sheila, thank you for sharing how God showed you how you could start again afresh. That he could give a path to you that was so good here in Melton. That you could push a path behind you that took such courage and took such care of your husband. But you came here and had a new life in him. Just thank you for sharing that. It showed God and his goodness. So tangible for you here, for this family here. Thank you.
Okay, give her another big cheer. Okay, it's been good, isn't it? Hearing these stories overlapping with the story of God on today, Easter Day, the day that we celebrate. Jesus did not stay dead. He rose from the grave and he's alive here among us. We're going to sing one last song before we finish. There's going to be tea, coffee and what have you next door. Before we do that, we just want to take one moment just to give opportunity for any of us here this morning who, if we're really honest in our heart of hearts, we don't know God the way that our friends who've been baptized know God this morning. That kind of closeness, that sense of he's mine and I'm his. I've got a relationship with him. It's not just a set of beliefs over here, but it's something that's alive and real. And we never, ever want to embarrass anybody in this church. And so I'm not going to ask anybody to put your hand up or anything like that. But you know who you are. And I'd just love to pray for you. If you're somebody this morning and you feel a bit lost, you feel a bit lost when it comes to God, I would love just to pray that you experience this reality, this living reality of God coming into your life, and you knowing that you've been forgiven, that you've been given this fresh start, this new way of being who God's called you to be. The truth is, Jesus died on a cross because he loved us so much. The truth is, he was raised again to life so that we can live with him. We can have the fullest of lives. We can walk with him every day, knowing he's with us. So would you just bow your heads with me? If you've got kids and they're making a noise, don't worry. That's completely fine. We are family church, all right? Jesus was never worried by a bunch of kids running around, was he? It's okay. Let's just close our eyes. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are here. The God who knew exactly where you were going when you went to Jerusalem. The God who said, Father, forgive, even as you were hung on a cross. And you say those words today over us, over our lives. You say, Father, forgive. And there's been this agreement between Father, Son, and Spirit that you would conquer death and that you would remove the gap between us and you. And you've done it. You said it's finished. And so I pray for any of us here this morning who are feeling lost. And the truth is, without you, that's exactly what we are. We're lost. Lord, thank you that you're here today to come and find us, to say, I've done everything that needed to be done. It was completed on the cross. And when I rose again, it meant that you'd live in the good of it today. You'd have to wait until the end of your life. Today it begins. And I pray now, just ask Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, those of us here this morning who maybe for the first time we're saying to you, God, I invite you to come into my life. We just pray that now. Come into my life. Father, we pray as much as we're able to. We say, God, would you forgive me for everything that separated me from you? That old-fashioned word, sin, but it's as real today as it was yesterday. Anything that hurts others, that hurts me, that hurts you, we say, God, forgive me. We say together, we believe that the cross was enough. It did everything that was needed to be done to forgive us. And Lord, you rose again so that we can be in relationship with you, the living God. And we say today, together, we want that relationship with you. And Father, for those of us saying it for the first time, we say, Lord, come into my life. And let today be the beginning of a new way of living with God inside my life, not outside. With God near, not far. And today we choose to put our trust in you, the risen God. And we say, we expect, Lord, we expect as much as we're able to, we expect to live the rest of our lives with you at the center, you inside of us, you leading us, you healing us, you giving us hope. And I just pray those of us here this morning who came in lost would know today that we are no longer lost. We have been found. We've been bought with a price. Jesus has done everything for us. We're going to sing one more song. If you prayed that prayer with me this morning, if you came in feeling lost and you're feeling somewhat less lost now, you're experiencing the love of God, I would love just to sit and pray with you when everybody else is getting a tea and coffee. Just come and find me. I'll be down here. It'd be a great privilege just to pray with you. That'd be great. Let's stand together. We're going to sing one last song of worship.